Welcome to Wellness Spring, where we dive deep into the world of healing, transformation, and limitless potential. In this episode, I'm delighted to chat with the dynamic Amelia Jander, a former corporate leader who transformed her life by following an unseen calling, from launching a gallery in France without speaking French, to now offering macabre activations and dragon activations. Emily's journey is nothing short of magical. This isn't just a story, it's an activation. If you're ready to reclaim your power, heal at the deepest levels, and awaken your true potentials, this is the right place for you. This conversation could change everything. Welcome, Emily, to Wellness Spring. It's so lovely to have you on the show.
So lovely to be here with you.
For the listeners, Emily and I first met many moons ago in the south of France, and I was a participant at one of her vernissages, which was incredible. And we've done so many things together since. And I'm just blown away because she spoke at one of my Be Here Now ladies events in 2020 about intuition. She comes from a corporate background, and I'm going to ask her to tell us more about her journey soon. And she was just so incredible, and people were saying, oh, she's like a breath of fresh air, and it's so magical, and I want to learn about intuition. And it was just so much fun, the whole chat. But today, I would like to explore her own personal journey so you can all get a good feeling of her greatness, her beautiful creative genius. And maybe we can go through some heart portals, body activations, and talk about the ancient wisdom of calling us all home, especially in this profound change in time, this big paradigm shift we're going through right now. So, Emily, could you please tell us about your spiritual journey and who or what inspired you to take more studies?
Thank you so much, Barbara, for this introduction. Wow, yes, it's been exciting times when we met in France, one of my stops in life. So my journey, my spiritual journey started very early. I was, as a child, very sensitive, hypersensitive, as they called me, and had profound intuitive visions and experiences. And growing in the family of father atheist, who had very distinct idea about people who believed in God, I was on search. I was searching, what can I believe in, basically, since little. I remember at the age of eight, I indoctrinated one of my friends to go out and call UFOs to take us back home, because I definitely didn't want to stay here. It wasn't my family. It wasn't my home. And very early studying, as from age of eight till 15, 16, studying all the mythical events that happened. You know, that time I had to go to the library to get to know what is the world all about. That was one of my profound questions. Why are we here? Why am I here? And then later on, I was, since my family was more scientifically oriented, of course, I went on the path of studies of information science. That was my background. as I was thirsty for knowledge, and I saw that I would get some of my answers, some of the answers I wanted. And very quickly afterwards, when starting working in the corporate world, I transitioned to leadership development and management coaching and consultancy. In there already, or already still, I was bringing in the spiritual aspect through intuition, which I was actually leading people or asking them, how do you make decisions, and why not really listening more to your inner self and to your gut feeling and so on. So I was always, even in the corporate world, I tried to keep my connection to the unseen realm. It wasn't easy though, but I managed to write a paper, white paper, which was called Intuition in Decision Making in Organizations. And I even presented this paper on a conference, on several conferences actually, which was really interesting that people wanted to hear that in the corporate background. But it was different times, and speaking of intuition wasn't really that popular. All my clients, of course, correlated and of course told me stories about their intuition, but not really, I shouldn't talk about it in bigger gatherings. So from that corporate world, at some point I felt tired, and I felt I wouldn't say it was complete burnout, it wasn't, but I felt like my soul was dying. If I stay where I am in cold Denmark, where the gray weather, I was wondering, is that it? Is this my life? And I couldn't accept that. I had this very deep call to go towards the south. I had 2 years intermezzo in Italy, in Rome, where I was still working as coach and consultant in consultancy for organizations. And coming back to Denmark after Rome was like coming to prison, back to prison. It's very, Denmark is wonderful. I love Denmark. I love the how everything is organized and easy, but it's also very constrictive for me. It was. So after a couple of years, I have to go back. I have to go back to south, anywhere. And France, south of France, was calling me. Since I didn't speak French, I thought, okay, if I open an art gallery, I love art. Art is for me language of intuition. It's inspiration. It's a voice of the creation for me. So why not? Okay, well, let's do it. Having no idea, having no background in commerce either, or studies within art, I just decided to go. I took my son, who was 11 that time. We packed my car and moved to France. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know the language, but I just had this profound belief that everything will work out. That was really, I was driven by the trust in the universe, basically, that this is my path because I feel it so strongly and I can't stay, I have to go. And it took me 18 days to find a gallery in Nice. It took me 3 more weeks to prepare and open and have the first vernissage. So
That's incredible.
Yes, it was all prepared. It was meant to be, as we say. That is clear. When things go like this so quickly and so smoothly, it's to be. And at that time, I had, of course, that was developing. Okay, when I see the past where my work with intuition within the corporate was very theoretical. And I can see that my transition to France and working with art was really testing my own intuition profoundly, challenging my fears, challenging certain aspects, and trusting, sending out this trust, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, I totally resonate with all that because that's how I've lived all my life. And people are like, how can you just go to a country? How can you do this? And it's like the calling is so strong, you can't sleep, you can't rest. It overwhelms you, it takes you. And when you get there, you might not know why you're there. And then everything just falls into place. And, it's that trust that you're talking about when you follow your intuition. And then the magic happens, it falls into place. Because I know many people have taken years to even start a business in France. And for you to be in a non-French person to get a gallery and open it so quickly, that's just living proof that the intuition definitely works when it's for the highest good and you've been of service.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. As is, if my logical mind had, of course, a lot of fearful thoughts, I had to overcome these. But the drive was so strong, and still, I didn't really completely knew the bigger picture because, after some years working with art and creating art events and so on here in South of France, yet another phase started where I just felt called to now work full time and profoundly with the unseen world. So you see, I thought perhaps at that time that art was it. And it was again another transition to get where I am today, where I am really full time, all time in working with energetics as a therapist in quantum therapy and with so many aspects.
Yeah. Can you share with us your definition of quantum therapies and what it is you actually do?
Yes, so quantum therapy for me is work at the quantum, energy work at the quantum with the knowing, with that aspect of there is no time, there is no space, that everything is happening here and now. The past, the present, the future is simultaneous. And when we have that knowing, when we have that, I would say, profound experience, then there is nothing impossible in terms of healing, in terms of reprogramming, in terms of transitioning and transcendence. And then,
Yeah.
of course, there are different tools which I work with, which I have discovered one by one. I'm an impatient person, fairly impatient, which is not always a positive thing because it can slow things down when you're too impatient. You see things already happened and then wondering why they haven't really happened in our reality. But I like I like the tools which are progressive and which work fast, which work quickly. So I was since long time, since childhood, I would say, in search of tools. First, of course, researching the ancient mystical tools, and then proving them in the quantum physics and quantum mechanics, to the capacity which I have. Of course, I'm not a physicist, so I have a certain knowledge, but sometimes it's enough to see the correlation and to see why it works and how it works. And I have a group of people. One is physicist, others are, more of scientific kind of group, which I am returning to for more information to see, okay, how this works, how this can correlate. So I'm a little bit in one foot in the mystical, the ancient tools, and the other one more in the new emerging science, which is open to work with energetics like this.
So what did you actually do when you, what changed, what was the turning point? Because you were big into intuition when I last spoke with you. So what has changed in your life? Did you meet someone and decide to study something? Because you keep talking about tools. What tools do you have in your toolbox?
Yes. So what happened was, I think the call where you suddenly you can't do anymore what you do, really. So the heart call, the heart desire is I really need to step up to where I am supposed to be now. And I would say, probably the tools I've been gathering or working with all my life, alongside the journey. But one of them which I was looking for answers, or looking for formula, looking for a really good teaching, was the Merkaba. And when I started activating my Merkaba, things happen very quickly, almost
Wow.
magically. And I think it was Merkaba which made me to decide, okay, now it's the time, because I could see the effects on myself. I could see how profoundly transformative this tool is. And I studied. I love Drunvalo, Melchizedek's way of teaching how to activate Merkaba, but it was a little bit too mental for me, or too complex for me. Then I researched. I found a French person who activated completely different way, more intuitive way, and that I resonated more with. What I did, I merged a little bit these two teachings, and then I channeled my own additions to that, and had since I have a group of people whom I trained to activate their Merkaba, and we are now meeting, every month, activating Merkaba together. And what I do is I merge our Merkabas to a collective Merkaba, where actually we can do profound healing for planet Earth, for problematic areas and so on. So it's a very, very powerful tool. And for
Great.
me,
For the listeners, can you explain what the Merkaba is and why activating it is key to our spiritual evolution now?
I see Merkaba as one of the key aspects for our ascension process in our spiritual evolution. Together with the heart-based awareness, which is very, very important. So for me, Merkaba, you cannot separate from the heart-centered work, heart-centered being. Merkaba is an ancient tool to multidimensional travel. It was called the Chariot of Light. Egyptians were big on using Merkaba. It was only, of course, the initiates who had to train for years and years and sometimes lifetimes to be able to activate their Merkaba in that time. Earth frequency was pretty low, so today everybody has the possibility to activate their Merkaba. When I say everybody, it's not completely true. Only people who are ready, of course, to do that, who are at that awareness. And Merkaba, what I use or why I love Merkaba is because it has infinite possibilities to heal. Merkaba works at specific levels, different levels. So we are raising the levels at by intention, and each level has specific therapeutic properties. With activated Merkaba, you can heal your inner child. You can transmute transgenerational memory blockages. You can and karmic memories as well. You can purify the water of your body or the blood of your body. You can focus on the weakest organs in your body, heal them. There are so many aspects. Of course, upgrade your DNA to the current level. There are many, many attributes like that, and I love that we can use it for our humanness as well. As, of course, if you're interested, you can travel multidimensionally. With the Merkaba, when you activate it, you at certain level you merge with your higher self. So it's there where you or higher selves, in my view, in my world, we have several higher selves in different dimensions. So you basically connect to your original blueprint as well. So it's a very quick way to your evolution, your spiritual evolution, frequency ascension, as Merkaba works on frequency.
Okay, so could you give us an example of a success story with a client so maybe people can understand what the client came for? How does one know that we're ready for a Merkaba initiation and so forth? Obviously, you don't need to n use the name.
Yes. So we know when we are ready, when Merkaba comes into your field. So when you have interest of Merkaba, it's some you read about it or you see it on social media, and it resonates with you, then you're ready for it. And the more it draws you in, so you see it again, that is how you know, okay, now I should do something about it. This is my time. My clients, there have been profound changes in their lives, and sometimes unexpected, because with Merkaba, activated Merkaba, you evoke or you provoke the shifts which bring you towards your highest good, which actually bring you to higher frequency. Through connecting with your higher frequency again and again, you can't stay anymore with specific people or situations because they are just to have it for you. They vibrate on lower frequency. So for certain people, there has been, had to change the job, relationship, or both even. So the effects were profound, but always with the knowing, I know that this is actually good. So not negative, yes, challenging, but for the coming on the other side with lightness and really happy when looking back. Yes, of course, I don't understand why didn't I do this long time before. Then there is healing from certain conditions. So I had one client which had, always pain and tingling in her arms. I don't remember what's the condition called, which disappeared after only a few Merkaba activations. Then people who tell me, well, I haven't been ill for years now. I haven't really, there is no physical problematic anymore for me. There are stages as well. Sometimes, you first have, of course, your emotional body purified of the mental there. There is our thought pattern, which needs to be work with. Even with Merkaba, not everything can be released because we have still the last word, which means you have to be ready and you have to be aware of what you want to work with. That's the free will.
Right. Yeah, that's very powerful. And I know many people are resistant change and they're stuck in old patterns. How does the energy alchemy offer a practical path to real life transformation?
Yes, so in energy alchemy, which is another tool set I have where I train people with, how to work with energy, how to in real life, is the tools are really for realizing how often we work unconsciously with energy. That we work, of course, we utilize energy all the time, every time. So it's becoming conscious about where do I use it unconsciously to the negative outcome or to the outcome I don't really like. So there is a correlation with thought pattern and behavior pattern as well. What brings me to there, I use a lot the long experience with coaching, for example, just really making the space for awareness. Where have I built up resistance, as you say? And with the energy tools, then directing energy specifically, we can dissolve these resistances. That's one thing. And second thing is that is what our conscious mind can do with our conscious mind. And of course, we touch our subconscious mind. We can, to a certain extent, work with that as well. And then we have what I discovered is not because it's new, but I discovered it for myself and my clients, the work with the ancestral patterns, which are very deeply running our subconscious and conscious. And it's there where I, thanks to Merkaba also in the first place, then I started working at a level of DNA, which I call, quantum DNA work, where we are able to transmute the ancestral trauma memories, which is fascinating, absolutely fascinating, and easier than we could think.
Yeah. So you said the macabre, you like it because it's a fast acting tool. So if people come for you for a session, like how long would the session take? What's entailed? And how lasting is it? Because, I've done a lot of work with conscious awareness and with the disempowering limiting beliefs. And people have had them for a lifetime. I believe they're lies we make up about ourselves before we're five, like, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not capable, don't have the capacity, et cetera, et cetera. And it for me, it's all about being consciously aware of it and going, okay, you're there, but you can come for a ride because I'm raising my vibration up, And I think when we're in tension, in the human body with these disempowering beliefs that get us stuck and stop us from writing our best-selling book or online program or whatever your heart does desire. It's about recognizing, oh, so you're to blame for keeping me, ego is keeping me trapped with these disempowering beliefs. So how does Macabre, help people to be consciously aware of their beliefs and how do they deal with the cause of the beliefs?
Yes, so I on day-to-day basis I do work on the subconscious patterns with through the DNA transmutation. So that is where we are being, or I'm being guided to guide people to certain state. Of it, there is hypnosis as well, to a certain extent, which I believe it's not really what I not believe, but I can see it's not really me who is really hypnotizing. It's really the energetics working with me who are guiding the process and working at the patterns at their core. So this is what happens in my sessions with the Merkaba. I mean, that is when people come to me and want to be sovereign. I mean, I always encourage people to work on their patterns themselves. But, so often the first contact with people is, I want you to fix it for me. And we do to a certain extent. And then I say, yes, but the follow-up and, the other, because there are so many. There can be so many blocks, ancestral blocks, and ancestral subconscious memories and patterns that, they would have to come so many times. I say, well, you can do this alone as well. So it's then when Merkaba comes into play, because with Merkaba activated, you can do it yourself. So there, Merkaba is, I have a course, 3 weeks course, which is, I don't want to call it online. It's online, but live, because I'm constantly present through messages and depends which aspect and Zoom call as well. But it's a self-paced course where, because people need to work with Merkaba every day, so activating it to certain level, to progressively higher levels. But I'm there to monitor their frequency. I'm there to answer the questions, and I'm there to giving them homework each week, that there are things and steps to accomplish. It's yeah, so it's a 3 week training, and then you have a tool for life.
And once you have that tool, would you be qualified then to do this work on other people or just for yourself?
That is for yourself. That is for yourself. It's your own Merkaba.
Right.
However, when you have your Merkaba activated, you can use it on, you can heal other people. You can send healing energy to other people, because Merkaba, or combine Merkaba with another healing modality like you do Reiki.
Yeah.
It magnifies to incredible extent every healing energy. So you can you can use the Merkaba to big benefit, actually magnifying your energetic influence or the influence of the incoming energetics.
Right. And how does one know if you're holding on to as ancestral habits and need to let go of them?
It's where what people come to me with is, I have tried everything and I still fall in the same problem. And still, I repeat a pattern. So they can see, they become aware of that there is a repetitive pattern, even though they tried different way of behavior, different they've tried other methods, and they see, yeah, but it seems like I'm just it's just I have to just live with this. So it's there where you can see that is the real subconscious pattern running their life and their thought patterns and they believe about themselves and about how life should be. So this is really kind of the last call, I would say. There are some people who can see very quickly, this I know is not mine, which is
Yeah.
impressive. They have deep self awareness, but usually it's kind of it's more, I don't know what else to do.
Okay, that's a good thing to be aware of. And I know you do so many different styles of activations, and because I'm Welsh and our national emblem is a dragon. I got super excited when I saw that you channeled dragons and offered dragon activations. So, what role do dragons play in our awakening and our soul empowerment journeys?
Oh, dragons. Dragons are, yes. Dragons are amazing, magnificent light beings, beings of light, which come here. Well, they've always been close to humanity because we are their, to a certain extent, their creations. And they of course survey our evolution, and they've been here as a, you know, with the helping hand since very long time, since the beginning of our journey. But now they are coming more in, even strongly, more strongly, because we are in a very exciting times. You know, as we all know, things are happening and we are shifting and we are transcending, and that is very exciting time. So they are helping us to become sovereign. It's the main call of the dragons is to show us that we are much more powerful than we think us to be, than we've been told to be. So it's in the name of sovereignty, they come and help us and work with us. And it's a little bit like with Merkaba. When you feel interested by Merkaba, when you feel interested by the dragons, it's the time to call them in and to work with them. So it means that your awareness is, your consciousness is now reaching down or up and saying, okay, now it's time for another path.
Wow. And can you actually describe what happens energetically during a dragon activation? And I'm keen also to know how does it support personal and collective ascension? And also, is there any connection, do you think, why certain people are born in Wales with such a powerful emblem?
Yes, so Dragons are, I guess, well, dragons, they are specific tasks for specific dragons, or tasks, capacities or abilities of specific dragons. So we have, of course, dragons, galactic dragons. Dragons are, for me, what I've connected with. They've been here since the beginning of the universe. They were co-creating the universe, and these galactic, these enormous dragon energies have a different task than the dragons, which are more taking care of, for example, our planet Earth and humanity. We can work with all of them, of course. That depends whom we call on. But there are dragons which are, I would call, elemental dragons, which are called elemental dragons, which are closer to us in terms of our structure. And I guess the whales, dragons, the elemental dragons have been present there for a long time. There are places on Earth where dragons have had their area of influence, and it has to do, what I've been informed, with ley lines, a lot of powerful ley lines. They have been doing the grid work there as well, activating specific areas, purifying and transcending negativity, for us to pave the path. So there are many, different kinds of dragons, and they have all the goal is for our sovereignty. The goal is make sure that the ascension process of planet Earth is also, it goes the way it was supposed to go. They are here to work with our DNA as well. This is how I work with them on quantum DNA aspects as well sometimes. And the ascension process without dragons, I can't even imagine.
That's beautiful. Like I spoke to you earlier, friends of mine are connecting with dragons all the time, and you can go on a beach and you'll see like the imprints of the tail of the dragon with maybe the lava from a volcano or something, and it's just purely magical. And being in a guided meditation or an activation with the dragons is indescribable for me. And the last one I had, I could feel all my cells and atoms vibrating. What I think was happening, just cleaning and clearing all my baggage and lifting me. And it was like to a much higher vibration that you can't even put words to. And so you've talked about sovereignty, and a lot of people are talking. Now it's time to lift the sovereign divine feminine and embody it. Can you speak a bit about that as well?
Yes, absolutely. All these are so linked, because for me, the most powerful tools to our ascension and our upgrade is the Merkaba, is the heart path. The heart-based being is the sovereign feminine, sovereign divine feminine activation or integration. Because the energetics are shifting, and as we know very well, the male dominant world needs some change. And the feminine energy, incoming feminine energy, the divine feminine, is incredibly powerful to balance this world. And it's with this energy that we can become more sovereign, in the sense of, if I personally have harmonized the masculine and feminine energy within me, I am more sovereign. I am more whole. I don't have to go out of myself and look for answers or guidance or being told what to do and taking it for granted what's out there. So when I am fully harmonized with both polarities, which are natural part of our humanism, of our being, we need both masculine and feminine, this polarity. And we have been playing a lot with the masculine one in our approach to life, both men and women. But now is the time to bring in the feminine part, which has been silenced for a very, very, very long time. And in that, we can become more whole. The program which I have about embodying sovereign divine feminine is taking in the aspects of seeing which part of me runs on the feminine, on the masculine. I don't want to say programming, yeah, but I have to say programming. And which one on the feminine, and where do I, becoming aware again, where am I standing? Where am I being with these two? And where and how can I actually balance these two so that I'm not doubting myself anymore? So that I'm not anymore unsatisfied with who I am, so that I'm able to speak out my truth, and so that I'm able to be in the flow of life. I see the divine feminine as the harmony between divine feminine and divine masculine as a river, where the water in the river is the divine feminine. It flows, it's there, it knows very well that it will reach the sea, the ocean. It has no restraint, it has no time pressure, it just is in that joyous being. And the shore of the river is the masculine, which gives that the water direction, which gives it the timing also. Okay, we know now when we will reach the ocean. But the masculine also gives it a direction. It gives it the joy of putting some stones in the river so that the water can jump and have some play. So when we realize the need of having both harmonized and knowing, when do I step more into the masculine, when do I step more into the feminine, and doing it on a conscious, more conscious basis, it's there the power of that river really
Yeah,
comes.
that's a beautiful way of describing it. And how could you help people who are just starting out on their spiritual pathway? Because, everybody is saying to lift the vibration to a new paradigm, everybody has to be part of it. But there's so many people who are skeptical and frightened and, scared of this change. What action step could they do right now?
Right now, if you have no tools, if you're deep in perhaps despair or just tired, it's I would say just put some music on and start dancing, go out to the nature. There is no reason or no reason. There is not really, it's not much helpful to do profound or deep meditation when you are in more negative state. But nature and the birds singing, some really good music. It's really bringing ourselves to the now. It's we all know that. It takes some decision making. It takes some action taking to actually do what we need to do. Getting ourselves out there to the nature, or putting the turning the music on, laughter. Just surround yourself with people who can make you laugh. If they are, there's not much laughter now. I've noticed in the world. Finding even when I look at Netflix or so, looking for comedies. Not much.
Yeah.
Not much. So for me, it's the lightness of being is in my. That's the biggest goal, I would say, for me personally, and what I can bring in. For others is creating more of that lightness, just not taking yourself too seriously. Just seeing the life a little bit more from distance, as a play, as a game.
That's wonderful tips. And I actually healed my thyroid and ovarian cancer 19 years ago from exactly being in nature and laughing and having crystals and a host of other things and everything that you mentioned. It's all free. So people can go out in nature, smell the roses, and, just be, because when you laugh, you're in the present moment. When you're smelling roasting coffee or baked cake or fresh flowers, you're in the moment. And looking at your beautiful smile, and you're sitting amongst those beautiful roses, reminds me of my journey with Mary Magdalene, when I visited the cave in her Yoni cave and the commercial cave in Saint-Maximin de Baume. And I believe you've moved there. Can you tell us your experiences?
Yes, absolutely. So I've moved. I'm now in Saint-Maxime, which
Yeah.
is not far from Saint-Tropez. That's not the one. It's the one you mean is Saint-Maximin de Baume. And it's only hour and a half for me to go there. I would say an hour and 15 minutes to go there. So I go there quite often to Mary Magdalene Sanctuary and to the magical forest. I do meditations there and grid work, and it's a fascinating place. And Mary Magdalene, taking her for ascended master, she has close connection to dragons as well. What I have received, and as other feminine ascended masters, as actually the dragons are here, bringing the sovereignty, but also bringing the feminine energy, that the energy of creation, the energy of which comes from the void of all that exists. So Mary Magdalene is very deep connected with them as well, and profound energy shifts happen already in the forest surrounding the sanctuary. magical place.
Yeah, oh, I've had a magical experience each time I visited, three times to a cave and actually seen a vision of Mary Magdalene, and she gave me messages to start a lady circle, self-healing for ladies, self-love, write a self-love book, and now she's kicking me up the butt and telling me get on with it. And yeah, it's just so wonderful, and that forest, like you said, is magical. And I've done so many meditations just lying on the ground there and being supported by Mother Earth, and inviting Mary Magdalene to visit is just unbelievable. And as you say, everything is to do with love and harmony. And what better way with opening your heart portal, your heart chakra, and being nurtured by two magnificent ladies.
Absolutely, absolutely. That the heart portal is again connected with all that I do, guiding people both in my meditations, but actually in every client I work with, we work with their heart portal, and it's because through your heart portal, you can go to your micro universe. You can travel within your body. You can travel in that, in your little cosmos, little in your cosmos, cosmic environment, as if you imagine the space in between our atoms or protons is enormous, in the sense of, as a reflection of the cosmos, macrocosmos, what we call cosmos, the universe. So I see the work with our cells and with the DNA as well as the work of cosmic work. I see when I go and I see the atoms as planets, turning around them, and see, the chakras as galaxies. And so it's beautiful discovery when you go on that trip. And through the heart portal, we can really, for me, there is an actual portal. You can, of course, travel in the bigger universe as well.
That's wonderful. And yeah, because Mary Magdalene's telling me to bring forth a heart-based way of living and community and movement. And I just wanted to know if you could share one sacred truth from your journey with the unseen realms, what would you offer to those listening today?
One truth.
Yeah, sacred truth.
Sacred truth. You are here to you're here to be the love you are.
That is truly beautiful.
To be the love you are in the lightness of your being.
That is wonderful. Yeah, I usually word it, if there was one thing you could do to change the world, what would it be? But I got guided to say, could you share one sacred truth? So that's lovely. And because it's a wellness program, what is your must do? Go to for wellness.
Nature, my everyday walk with my dog in the forest, and yoga.
That's beautiful. So, I know you have an up and coming event coming up soon. So, would you like to share something about that?
Yes, so I have two. One is the Heart Portal Meditation Group, which I would like to offer live once a week, connecting and guiding through the Heart Portal the people who are interested in that. And then I have a retreat coming up in September in Italy, close to Rome, where I used to live, with my partner Ashley. She's a Kundalini yoga teacher, and we are offering the Sovereign Divine Feminine Retreat there. We have done one in Glastonbury in December for the winter solstice, and the one in September is for the autumn solstice, equinox, sorry. So that is a very powerful way to connect, to release, and to activate, the solstice and equinox times, of course, to work on the aspects of divine feminine. So these two, and then of course I have monthly Merkaba activation group. I start every month a new group to train your activation, and some other workshops coming up, which are in my planning calendar. So that will be next time.
And where can people find you? What's the best way to get this information?
It's on my website, ameliayanda.com.
That's
There
great.
you
And
can.
I'll add that to the notes so people can just click on your link. And yeah, it's been an absolutely amazing conversation. And I'm sure all those budding and experienced light workers will be reaching out to you, and I'm sure everybody will feel your beautiful healing love and light, and it will be warming their hearts and starting to open their hearts just by listening to this conversation. So thank you for all you are and all you do.
Thank you so much, Beverly. What a pleasure, and what a, yes, heartwarming moment to see you again and to be on your show. Thank you.
Pleasure.